Father, we love you, Lord, with all our heart, our soul, our mind. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be with us today, not only with us, but, Father, in us. Help us, O God, to reflect you, to become more and more like your Son, Jesus, who is the outward expression of who you are. And so, Father, we just commit, Lord, this service. We commit our understanding of these end times. We commit, Father, the evolution of your Spirit and the manifestation of your Spirit moving in us, Lord, and through us. And now, Father, we ask that your blessed presence would be with us as we partake in this communion service tonight and the word that precedes it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this evening we have quite an interesting topic to take. It's from the unveiling of God. It'll be number 145, and I'm calling it the Election Year in Jesus. Lately in the news, we see the focus of talk has gone from impeachment to, I think it's actually COVID, anyway, a 19, which basically the coronavirus pandemic. Now, let me assure you, as the scripture says, and this too shall pass. Brother Graham warned us that at the end time, governments would manufacture diseases in their laboratories, but he also assured us that those viruses are not allowed to touch those with the Holy Ghost. Now, how is it that a disease is not allowed? I mean, does a disease have intelligence? Yes, it does. A disease is a spirit. It's a demon. And I found this out back in the 1980s when HIV was first coming out in the center. The CDC, the director of the CDC made a statement which really kind of shocked me, but it made me think, okay. And I went back to Brother Ram's sermons and found out the guy was exactly right. He said the HIV virus is a RNA. He said it gets on or piggybacks on your DNA and then rewrites the programming of your DNA to shut down its defenses. I thought, well, that takes a lot of intelligence to do that. You know, we have today in computers, we have viruses. John knows all about that. And many of your brothers are computer people in here, so you all know about it. And that's just a string of code. That in that string of code, it tells your computer to do certain things. Well, how the computer virus, antivirus program works, it recognizes these strings. It has a library of all these strings that are out there, all these different, you know, the red virus, remember that one, and different ones. And it has them all in a library. And so it goes through your program, and it looks for those strings. And if it finds those strings, it'll isolate it. Then it asks you, do you want to isolate it or do you want to delete it? Well, sometimes if you delete it, it might be part of it's here and part of it's here, and you might delete the whole thing, and now your program doesn't work. So, you know, you isolate it, you put it into a vault, and basically it's not able to operate. Well, that's intelligence. It takes a lot of intelligence to do that. Well, that's the same thing. And RNA is a ribonucleic acid. The DNA is a deribonucleic acid. The DNA is basically who we are. We've gone into that. Remember from about 6 months ago, we preached a sermon showing that you're in your DNA. It's not like a message. It is a message. And different scientists have proven that music is written into your DNA. And they proved that by, they actually took a person's DNA and they took the code out and it played Mozart, played certain music. So the guy that was doing the research said, well, what if we put in Chopin's Death March? So they put it into the Death March and it constructed a DNA chain which basically reflected the death. All right. So they found that our DNA is mathematical, it's musical, and it's a language. And it is who you are. That's your language. That's who you are. And what is language? It's thoughts. What are thoughts? What are words their thoughts express? So if you take that in virus, you know, antivirus, or, you know, in the computer virus, it's a string of language, okay? String of words that are put together in such a way as to tell the computer to do certain things. It's not just words, but it's code. It's just like all you young people that you text, right? Well, you don't always text full words. You don't say R-A-R-E-Y-O-U. You say R and U, you know, and you use code to decipher with one another basically what's going on. Same way in computer code, It's language. Well, our body, our DNA is language. And it was put there by God. Hallelujah. So He knows everything about you more than you know about yourself. All right? Now, so we're looking at this, and we're looking at this coronavirus, and we ask ourselves a question. All right? We know that at the end time, they're going to be producing these things. We know that. Yet, is this the time for it or not? Because we have a vindicated prophet God said, we're going to be gone before these plagues break out, the economy goes to pot and everything else. We're going to be gone. So we ask yourself, okay, what is going on right now? So that's what we want to talk about tonight. Now, Brother Branham warned us that at the end time, the governments would manufacture diseases in their laboratories, but he also assured us that those viruses are not allowed to touch those with the Holy Ghost. I hope you all got the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. God provided a way of healing. He said, what is a cancer? What is a tumor? What is a disease? We'll deal with it. We'll deal on that for the next 5 minutes now. What is a cancer? What caused that thing? See, this is where the doctors, they don't go to the cause. They say, well, you got a symptom? Okay, we're gonna give you this pill that'll take that symptom down. And that would be like saying, well, my car's not functioning. You know, it's got a bell that keeps going on. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take out my snipper. I'm going to snip that cable so I don't see that stupid bell anymore. And you don't know. And pretty soon your car quits functioning. You say, well, why? Well, because the bell was trying to tell you something. You see? So, Brother Branham says, so what caused that thing? Let's take a cancer or anything you wish to take, a tubercular, a pneumonia, whatever you wish, any disease. Diseases are germs. Let me pass up. Now listen, if anybody is qualified to talk about this, that vindicated prophet of God who came with the Holy Ghost with healing in his wings, all right, is more than qualified because he understood the demon realm. Diseases are germs. Let me pass something here quickly as our time is going. Now listen, did you know the Bible predicts that in the last days that there'll be a germ warfare? That diseases will break out upon people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You see how important the baptism of the Holy Ghost is? But with the angel or who had charge over these plagues was given orders to touch no one on whom the mark was. Why, what kind of a teachers ought we to be, brethren, to get the church in that order, to be in that condition, immune? If we could get everybody in the church, those listening overseas and in America, if we could get everybody to the place where they are so filled with God. You're talking about immunity from any of this stuff going on. Immunity. He said, my arms are sore now from where the doctors have punched needles to try to inoculate me from yellow fever and so forth. Well, you know, yellow fever is the one that, no matter who you are, if you go to any of these third world countries, you got to have that yellow fever inoculation. It used to be every 10 years. Finally, they said, okay, one time is good enough. All right, I guess they got their money and, you know, it's good enough. I found out because my 10 years had expired and I went there and they said, no, you're good. You don't have to have it anymore. He was going overseas. Doctors wanted to puncture the arm, you know, give you the yellow fever. I told them I didn't need it. I didn't need it. But they wouldn't listen to me. Why? They're reading from a different script. They're reading from a man's script. He's reading from the Holy Ghost script. But I'll tell you what God's going to do. God's got a serum. And it's called the Holy Ghost. And when that serum goes in, it'll inoculate you, hallelujah, in the last days. Now, are we in the last days?
Amen.
You got the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
You're inoculated. Don't worry about coronavirus. Also from his sermon, God provided a place of worship, or fellowship. He said, now, how we thank thee that in this great hour, that when all hopes of mortal life is diminished, atomic bomb. Now listen, people say, well, what about my children? I'm going to show you statistics tonight. This coronavirus is not affecting children. It's affecting old people that already have pneumonia and different diseases like that. Because their immune systems are already weak, and it just takes them a little bit, pushes them. Like Brother Ram said, you know, he said, you want to go down the middle of the road? He said, that you start on the right, you saw, you got to go to the left, you start going across, you get to the middle of the road, and while you're moving to the middle, the devil gets behind and gives you a push. You went from Trinitarianism, and you saw that there's one God, and so you start moving that direction, he gives you a push, you go into oneness. 90% of the people in the message did that, all right? People do that. It's common nature. It's once you're moving that way, it's hard to stop. So it gives you a little bit of push. That's what this is all about, all right? So, how we thank thee that in this great hour, that when all hopes of mortal life is finished, atomic bombs are laying in the hangars, they are, hydrogen bombs, sickness and diseases, plural, germ warfare, that's what it is. Oh God, in everything, the way that it is, knowing that the Bible said that the man would actually rot in their flesh, that's Ebola, that's any hemorrhagic fever, there's different things besides Ebola that do that. But that angel was given commission, don't you touch any of those. Don't you come near those who have the wine and the oil. Don't touch those who have the seal of God upon their forehead. And we realize that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the seal of God. Now, I have gone overseas in different countries. I have laid hands on people that had tuberculosis. You don't want to touch people with tuberculosis unless God sent you. And unless you know you got the Holy Ghost. Because tuberculosis is very easy to be spread. And I remember one place I prayed for four people that had tuberculosis. So, don't tell me about these things. I know I've been there. I see, look, if you go to Africa, you will see all kinds of diseases that you just don't see in America. I mean, my goodness, I see people's legs that look like, just almost gangrene all the way down. Just terrible, terrible things. We should be thankful that we don't have to deal with that here. But sometimes, on the other hand, they've got a lot more faith to battle with that stuff than we have over here because we don't see it. Right? So he says, oh God, everything the way it is, knowing that the Bible said that the man would actually rot in the flesh, but the angel was given commission. Don't you touch any of those. Don't you come near those who have the wine and the oil. What's the wine?
Stimulation
of what? All right, you got it?
Amen.
All right, you got the oil, the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
It's forbidden to touch you. Don't touch those who have the seal of God upon their forehead. That's the Holy Ghost. And we realize the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the seal of God. For it is written in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until when? The day of your redemption. When's that? When you get your body changed. So that takes you up to the point of the body change. Hallelujah. Lord God, seal this church tonight. Those who are wanting the seal of the Holy Spirit, kiss away every fear, Lord, and seal them with thy seal of the Spirit in their heart, that they'll come forth as newborn babes, crying, Abba, Father, grant it, Lord, I commit them to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son. Amen. Now, in Psalm 103, and verse 3, we read, I am the Lord who healeth what?
All
your diseases. And Brother Brown said, if there's any other healing, God told something wrong. So, you look up what you've got, what's troubling you, what's your ailing. Go to the scripture, find all, and listen, if you need a copy of Brother Bosworth's book, I've got about a dozen left, just come to me after service, I'll give you one. And pour yourself into that book, it's full of scriptures, because it's the scriptures that heal. It was already done. It's just getting you to recognize that. Okay, so we're warned that at the end time, governments will be developing germ warfare that will be released upon the people at the end time. And we've seen signs of this, it seems, every few years, or shall we say, around every election cycle. Now, isn't that a coincidence? So, you should not be fearful when you see the headlines proclaiming the next pandemic. It's been declared by God that it will come, and when it does come to pass, we should be aware that this is nothing outside of the plan of God. And remember, God promised that it shall not come near you, and as He promised in Romans 8:28, that all things will work together for your good, and either you have trust in God or you don't. Because either you're sealed, therefore you can trust God, or you're not sealed. Now remember, God has a plan for you and the plan for the world. Don't ever forget that. He has one plan for you, one plan for them. God told us in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. But not to them. And what is our expected end? To be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Psalm 72:7, and in his day shall the righteous flourish and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. Psalm 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, listen, when there's ravaging war and germ warfare and lawfare and all these other fairs that are going on, he says, we're going to be at peace. When Egypt was being one plague after another plague after another plague after another plague, the people in Goshen were in peace. He's just saying the change is not. So we're promised that God's plan for us is peace. But that is not his plan for all others. In Isaiah 59:8, the way of peace they know not. That's why they have, it's continuous warfare. Well, we haven't had enough war in Afghanistan. Well, you know what? Trump wants to get us out of there, so let's find some other place we can stir up so that we can send our troops there. Continually, that, like Eisenhower warns about the military industrial complex. You know, they found out they can make money by going to war. The bankers found out they can make a lot of money by going to war because they give money to this side, they give money to this side, and both of them got to pay them back. So now they're getting money from both sides. And they're molding and fashioning governments to do their own bidding. It's all falling apart. It's all coming undone. Why? You think because Trump is there? No, because God is getting ready to take it all down. God's only using the man. All right, for his glory. Whosoever shall go along with their crooked path shall not know peace. Now we have been warned by God's prophet to turn off the TV sets because we are allowing Satan to come in and control our minds. Now from his sermon, we would see Jesus, Brother Bram said, it's too bad that the things of the world have so captured the church in these last days, and Satan has had a rude way of doing it, to bring in the televisions right into the homes and things and corrupting the minds of the people. Until today, that a great percent of the church that call themselves Christians will stay home from prayer meetings on Wednesday night to get to see some favorite program of somebody from Hollywood or somewhere that oughtn't to be even to put out on the screen, maybe living with 3 or 4 husbands or wives or carrying on and living all kinds of life, go out on drunk parties and smoking and lying and everything that can be done that's wrong. And our churches are fashioning themselves. Even our dress in this day becomes after Hollywood. What a pity it's got to be. What that our minds think can't stay pure and holy with Christ. It's done something to the church. It's crippled it. And it's done a horrible thing. All of our papers and everything just seems to be corrupted. But listen, friends. It's in that hour of corruption and that time of corruption that God draws himself a bride that comes out of that corruption. That's what he's looking for, to get a church that's called by his name, somebody that looks for a life that has no end. Notice how Brother Ann talks about television, talks about how it corrupts the mind. Oh, you say, well, you know, I know Brother Ann was hard on I Love Lucy, but, you know, I enjoyed a good laugh. It was funny and everything. Listen, I Love Lucy was the start of the male incompetent married to the woman who was competent. I Love Lucy had a bumbling idiot for a husband portrayed, this is what the husbands are, and she was a conniving, mentally giant compared to her husband. He was a bumbling fool. That was the beginning of it. What do you see today in today's society? Look at the millennium. The men are like women, the women are like men. They've reversed roles. It's a terrible condition. But it's on every television program out there. Notice how Brother Ann talks about television and how it corrupts the mind. Well, listen, you can listen to a lie over and over again, and you'll end up thinking that lie is the truth. Brother Ann said in the sermon, lean not to your own understanding. He said, you know, the Bible said you can believe a lie and be damned by it. See? That's exactly the truth. They form, no matter what the Word of God says, they lean to their own understanding. They lean on it, they believe it, they think it's the truth. You know, it gets to the point where I hear people in this message say, you know, oh, isn't this politician, he's a really good man. I mean, he talks about God once in a while. Really? That makes him a good man because once in a while he mentions God? You know, they won't even pray in Jesus' name. But they'll talk about God. Which God? The God of this evil age. I'm not mad at you. I'm just I see what's going on. All right? It gets to the point where you see so much error, so much wickedness, so much everything else, that when somebody comes along and says, well, praise the Lord. Wow! Wow! He must be a Christian. He's not a Christian. Look at his life. Not a Christian. Christian means Christ-like. I would say, look, and I don't mean to disparage anybody, but I'd say at least 90% of the message followers are not even Christian. Because Christian means Christ-like, and do you see it in their lives? Do you see it in their life? Do you see it in your own life? Do you know without any doubt that you are a Christian? You are Christ-like. And if you can't honestly say that, get to your knees until you do. Until you've died to yourself and let Christ in. So he says, you know, the Bible says you can believe a lie and be damned by it. See, that's exactly the truth they form no matter what the word of God says. They lean to their own understanding. They lean on it. They believe it. They think it's the truth. You can believe. You can keep believing a lie over and over and over till it's the truth to you. Huh? What is that? That's right. But how do we know whether it's the truth or not? God proves it's truth because it's in His Word. Like the fellow that came here and said, well, God gave me a vision. And Brother Don says, well, brother, if it don't line up with the Word, we're not interested. But God's Word, God's vision is more than the Word. No, it's not, brother. You're deluded if you think that you get a dream or a vision that's greater than God's Word. Brother Branham said every prophet of God had to take every vision of God back to the Word of God to make sure it was in the blueprint. He says you can keep believing a lie over and over and over and over till it's the truth, till it becomes the truth to you. Not that it becomes the truth, but to you it does. That's right. How do we know whether it's the truth or not? God proved it's truth because it's in His Word and He vindicates it. He does His interpretation of it. Well, how do they get to this? They do it by their culture, their education, of their understandings, of the degrees, their doctorate degrees, and so forth. That they have come from some certain seminary and learned these things. Now, I'm going to say this. Sometimes I hear brothers talk, not saying recently, but over the last few years. And I've heard people say, you know those people over there, we ought to just nuke them. And I say, did you ever hear Brother Ram say that? Shame on you. You have a conservative mind, but it's not a Christian mind. Don't say those things. They're still God's children over there. Don't ever, look, the devil will get on your back and he'll say, yeah, you know, boy, if I could just take out this one and this one and this one, maybe everything would be all right. No, there would just be another crop of miscreants raised up. Don't ever get that kind of thinking in your mind. That's the devil. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe might be saved. Look at every person as an opportunity to share eternal life on the other side forever and ever with that person. If they don't receive it after two admonitions, just let them alone. Just say, you know, when it says reject, it just means let them go their own way. People are going to do what they're going to do. Just let them go. But don't get upset. Don't get mad. Don't just move on. You know, this is the book of life. And there's many chapters, many stories in this book of life. In your book of life, many chapters, many stories. Some people come into your life and you have a good two or three years. You really had good fellowship, love them, everything else. And all of a sudden, boom, they're gone. And you say, well, why did they go? You don't know. Did I say something? Or what were the circumstances? I don't know. But you know what? Change the page. There'll be other people come in. You have time to share an opportunity. But God brings people through your life so that it can express Him. It gives you more people, more opportunity. All right? So, how do they get to this? They do it by their culture. You know, Christian versus liberal, this versus that. Or not Christian versus liberal. Conservative versus liberal. A lot of angry conservatives want to be at war all the time. That's not conservative. That's not Christian. That's just conservative. Their education, of their understanding of, or their degrees, doctorate degrees, and so forth. that they have come from some certain seminary, and they learned these things. They learned these things. How do you learn? By rote. How do you learn? Repetition, over and over and over again. How do you believe a lie? By repeating the lie over and over and over again. Until, yeah, after a while, you say, yeah, I've heard that before. Well, yeah, you're the one that said it. So you can repeat a lie over and over enough times until it becomes truth to you. And that is how Satan, through the media, is reshaping the minds of the people today.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking I want to play something for you to see. I talked to you about this about maybe 6 weeks ago. And I've waited for today. It is how that the media is being controlled by only six companies. And so instead of getting the real news, they're just repeating propaganda that they are told to say. And the people go from one channel to another channel, and when they say, why? Why? If they're all saying the same thing, it must be true. Yeah, you're all repeating the same lie. Well, hey, that makes it true. It does. I don't care how many times you hear the lie, a lie is a lie. And the people no longer think for themselves. That's the problem, especially with the millennials. They don't think for themselves. They want somebody who's going to pay for their education, pay for this, pay for that, pay for that. But who's going to pay for it? Well, somebody. Government will. Who's the government? Aren't you the government? We the people? Oh, you mean I got to pay for this guy coming in from from Mexico and I got to pay for his medical bills and everything else? That's we the people. And you want to make a carte blanche across the entire country? Anybody comes in gets free health care? But you can't afford it for your family. You understand? And the people no longer think for themselves, but are spoon-fed what they think, and it's all a lie.
Man.
All of it. The Bible said they would turn the truth into a lie, and they would be damned by it. So listen to this short video showing you that what you hear on the news is not news, but actually propaganda. In fact, I don't remember which CIA director said, it was Casey, I think it was, but he said back some 30 years ago, he said their idea, their plan, was to get control of the media and to spoon-feed the media what to say. It's being done. I could show you a handful of guys that are big-name broadcasters, and they were CIA-trained. And they don't even hide it. The CIA recruited them out of college, trained them, and then put them into good jobs with CNN and different companies. MSNBC, CNN, you name it. All right? As Rush Limbaugh has told the people for many, many years now, almost 20 years now, he said at 4 o'clock every morning, the CIA sends out their talking points for the next day. What are they doing? Are they giving you news? No. They're giving you opinions. Whose opinions? Deep state, central government, Catholic Church. The CIA has for years gotten control of the newscasters, and they get their 4 a.m. scripted talking points, and they work from those talking points. Now, let me just show you the first example here. And Josh, could you, when we play this, could you let me just do something. I'm going to go to. I'll open it up this way. Oh, I'm going to have to grab it off the disk. That's why I didn't open up. Okay.
Points doesn't really do justice to the rhetorical discipline here. It's really like watching a 3D printer at work, turning out carbon copies of stilted propaganda, one after the other, after the other. A miracle of replication. You might even call the Democrat response manufactured.
We're all saying that this is a manufactured crisis, and a crisis that manufactured by the Trump administration.
This is a manufactured crisis, Bill.
How he manufactures crises, like immigrants seeking legal refuge.
What the president is doing is manufacturing a crisis.
Doesn't come by stop holding the American people hostage Let's stop manufacturing the crisis.
This president just used the backdrop of the Oval Office to manufacture a crisis.
So they brought that manufacturing. What about the press? Well, one thing to know about our national media, if Democratic leaders are saying it, reporters are saying it too. No matter what it is, you often hear conservatives complain that our media are liberal. That's giving them far too much credit. What they really are is obedient, like Shih Tzu begging for a snack. If Nancy Pelosi called for invading Canada tomorrow, all the news anchors would be telling you how Ottawa is the real threat. They're flunkies. Humorless little functionaries doing their sad little jobs. Watch them at work.
Folks, the president has manufactured one heck of a political crisis for himself.
Democrats have manufactured a national security crisis. You know, what we're going to say is that this is a manufactured crisis. It's not a national security crisis.
From Nancy Pelosi, that the Debbie Watson shows, or anybody else who will give him a dime for this project.
So it's not manufactured.
It's a manufactured crisis for the president to get a political win. We have a president who will go on TV tonight and lie and lie and lie some more. This is a manufactured crisis.
They're so dumb. They have no self-respect.
Yeah, I need to tell them straight. All right, and here's the next one. You're all saying the same thing.
Sharing biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and
false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first. Unfortunately, some members of the media outlets are pushing their own personal bias.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 This is extremely dangerous to your mental thinking. You understand? I'm glad we're able to give you this illustration because this is the news today. There's 47 different channels, local channels. You think, well, you know, that's just the mainstream, the central DC. No, that's all of them. They're owned by six corporations throughout the world. Six. They all say the same thing. 47. This person, whoever did it, you know, I thank him for it. Because maybe it'll help you wake up. You can't be listening to that stuff. It's propaganda. It's just boom, boom, boom. And you hear it all day long, boom, boom, boom. Pretty soon you're just thinking, boom, boom, boom. It's a distraction. That's why I said you need to get the tapes up and listen to the voice of God, the vindication of God's word to us in this hour.
Amen.
Listen to it. I just wish you could take a tape and all the preachers in this message would be saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. What God said. Now, wouldn't that be nice? All right, let me just see if I can get out of this thing. Okay. All right. And watching the news today can be extremely dangerous to your mental health and your spiritual well-being.
Sure.
Did you know that was going on? No matter what channel you turn to, it's the same news. They say the same words. It's scripted. Who's scripting it? Well, it's not 10 different people scripting it because they're all saying the same thing. They're getting it from our CIA and from our so-called intelligence, which they're not very intelligent. Our so-called intelligence, our 17 different intelligent, a bunch of garbage. Mm-hmm. And what is it doing? It's polluting your minds. It's corrupting your minds. Away from what? The truth.
Man.
His brother said, you can hear a lie over and over and over, like 47 times. And then people, well, you know what, Don Rather said, or Dick whatever said, and, you know, Joe Blow said. So, let me just ask you this. Do they have the Holy Ghost? Well, no. Don't listen to them.
That's right. Amen.
They've got nothing to tell you. You know more of what's coming down the pike than they do. They're all just groping. And this whole thing with coronavirus is another, every 2 years, there is a big fear mongering. It gets you to run to your doctor. Well, if you're old, you better get the flu shot. Why? Only people get the flu are the ones that get the flu shot. It's a live virus. Why would you want to put a virus, a germ, a demon, into your body willingly? So I can, I was director of contract marketing, and I wrote all the contracts for the vaccines for 10 years for Children's Hospital and for the pediatric associates around them. I know what I'm talking about. Hepatitis B. You can't even get your child out of the hospital without signing a waiver. Or they want to give your child hepatitis B. You know what hepatitis B is? It's a venereal disease. Now, do you think a monogamous family need to have their children given a demon that produced from illicit sex when they're not even 6 days old? And then they want to give it to them two times? Or what is the schedule now? Anybody know?
Five times
you get hepatitis B? Yeah, see, it used to be two. Then went to three, four. Now it's five. Keep them plugged. Keep those demons coming. It's sick. It's time people take charge of their own being. It's time that people turn off all that nonsense and turn in to God, to His Word. Now let's look into the so-called pandemics we've seen throughout the past 16 years, because it seems that we have a pandemic strike the world every election cycle. Yes, believe it or not, every election cycle. In 2004, presidential election year, we had SARS. In the next presidential election year of 2008, we had the avian flu pandemic. Again, in 2010, midterm election, we dealt with the swine flu, H1N1. Then in the presidential election year of 2012, we were hit by MERS. Oh, that was a scary one. It was a highly contagious disease, they said. Then in the midterm election of 2014, we saw Ebola come out of nowhere to scare the population, giving President Obama some good photo ops. Then in the next presidential election year of 2016, it was the Zika virus that was going to kill all the children in their mother's wombs. Well, you don't need a Zika virus for that. All you got to do is have the Democratic, the DNC in charge. They'll do it free. Abortion. Then, the year 2020. That's where we're at now. And we're now in another presidential election year, and we now have unveiled the COVID-19 coronavirus, which is, according to every liberal commentator, the fault of President Trump. Yep, it's his fault. But all these election year plagues are simply that. The liberal media is trying to push big government that is here to rescue you. I think I've got a little echo problem here. But does not your Bible tell us that God is our shield and our protection? So we see election year meddling again. You know, they blame it on the Russians. I blame it on them. The liberal media pushing the people to lean on big government from the cradle to the grave. But this sort of news is not news. It is propaganda, because there is nothing to worry about. But these diseases are a telltale sign that man has been meddling in the government labs to bring on diseases. And once God takes His Holy Spirit from the earth, along with His bride, then watch out, because there will be nothing to hold that evil down. That's why the Bible says you'll see it, but you won't partake. But as for now, we are protected, so we have nothing to worry about. Just make sure your family is under the token, and that the token is applied to your house. And use common sense health care techniques, such as washing your hands often. And don't touch your eyes and nose in public. Well, Peter, you know, we know that he was in vaccines and all that kind of stuff. And mostly for animals, I think it was. But anyway, he was telling me at lunch today of a test study they did, where they had three different what do you call those groups? Clinical, yeah, clinical.
Trials. Clinical trials.
Well, no, there's a control groups, yeah. Clinical control groups. One of them was given nothing. No mask, nothing. Another one was given a mask. Another one was given masks and told to wash your hands. You know, whenever you touch anything, just wash your hands. 70% of the people that were wearing the mask and wash their hands, the things didn't affect them. But it was no different for those wearing a mask and those that weren't wearing masks, that didn't wash their hands. But the press only showed, oh yeah, they were wearing masks. So now masks are hard to get. You can't buy them. Who needs them? Let me just tell you something. The masks that they give you, they say, wear this mask. You see the Chinese all wearing these little paper masks? The mask is good for 3 to 4 minutes until your breath has put enough moisture into the mask that now it attracts the virus and it clings to it. And it's no longer any good. The masks don't help you. The Holy Ghost helps you. All right? Because each time they release one from the lab, they want to liken it to the Spanish influenza of 1918-1919. Just go back and read all these things I'm going to show you today. Go back and read them. Oh, this is going to be like the great influenza of 1918 where 1 billion people were affected and 440 million people across the world were dead. Really? Got one death in America, so only 60 people have it? Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. But all of these fall short from the influenza back then because of the 2 billion to 2.5 billion people that lived on Earth, 1 billion were affected by it. Not infected, but affected. Because 40 million people died of that flu. But the numbers associated with these so-called pandemics, which are so small that they should not even be called a pandemic, they fall so short of that Spanish influenza pandemic that you cannot even consider them a pandemic at all in comparison. So just because the media hype and push it, you don't have to go along with the fear monger. Remember, every time the angel Lord came, he said what? Fear not. Mm-hmm. In fact, Paul tells us God has not given you a spirit of fear. So if God didn't give you the spirit of fear, then who did? The devil. Then who's pushing it? His minions. And that's your media. And if you look up the symptoms, homework, everybody. If you look up the symptoms of every one of these so-called election year pandemics, they are the same symptoms as a common cold or the annual flu bug. And they have about the same death rate as a cold and flu as well. But the one thing they all have in common is that they had their origins in China. Because the filthy conditions where the people buy their meat at live meat markets where they sell bats, rats, dogs, and cats. Now that should be easy to remember. Bats, rats, dogs, and cats. And many more other kind of animals. And they slaughter the animal right there on the street so the people can see for themselves what they bought is what they get because they don't trust the butcher. So why do they do that? Because the people, they don't trust each other. Nor do they trust the source of their food. They do not trust the butcher, so they want to see the butcher the animal. And if it were a Christian nation, they would automatically be more trusting. So you see the dangers of this world going further and further away from Christ and His Word? Fear begets fear. As Job said, the things that I feared the most, they've come upon me. So my answer to their custom of butchering at the meat market is to just sell the animal alive and let the people take it home and kill it themselves, or else kill it and let the people take home the dead animal and skin it and clean it in their own homes. Or do as the Western nations do. Do the killing at one location and instantly wrap the meat, freeze it, and sell it in the stores. But China has been the source of almost every pandemic except for Ebola. And that comes from eating bats slaughtered in the same kind of meat markets in Africa as they have in China. And it's also a very filthy custom. In the election year of 2003 and 2004, the SARS pandemic hit. It was not really a pandemic by the definition of the word, but that is what the World Health Organization wants to call it. It seems that they want to call every flu-type symptom a pandemic to scare the public. The World Health Organization, WHO, and the Center for Disease Control, CDC, use these pandemics to scare or hype up the people in order to help the political left every election cycle. So you say, well, why the left? Because the left are big government people. And that is what the pandemics are focused on to accomplish, is big government. You say, well, did these things happen under Bush? Yeah, Bush was left. Don't think because he called himself a Republican, he was a rhino. Republican in name only. Two snakes, or the same snake, but had two heads. One's a GOP and one's a DNC. It's the same thing. And it's all Antichrist. People look to big government to take care of their needs from cradle to grave instead of walking with God and trusting Him. So they create reasons to bring fear on the people, and they try to get them to look to big government to ease those fears. Now, SARS is an acronym. It means it's from Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, SARS. You know, when I was a kid, if you had the flu, you had diarrhea and things like that. All the flus today are what? They're respiratory. They have the same symptoms. You know, sneezing, nasal drip, coughing, a little bit of a fever. Every one of them, same thing. You'll find that most of the so-called pandemics come out of China because the people eat bats, rats, dogs, and cats. And in the country as well as in the cities, the people will house their pigs along with chickens together under their houses. I've seen it. Even in the Philippines, I've seen it. That is very unsanitary conditions throughout China and much of Asia. Having your hogs living under your house with your chickens running around, the chickens eat the hog manure, or the pigs eat the chicken filings, and they're spreading that disease back and forth. Now, from his sermon, Choosing of a Bride, Brother Branham said, a few weeks ago, I was in a vision. And I was standing up on a high place, and I was to see the preview of the church. And I noticed coming from my, I was standing more like this way, facing the west, and coming this way was a lovely bunch of women, real nice dressed, long hair, fixed nice in the back, sleeves and skirts down neatly. And they were all in a marching tune, like onward Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. And as they passed by, I stood, and there's something there, some spirit was God. And he said, there is the bride. And I looked, and my heart was happy. And she went around this way and passed around behind me. And after a while, when she come back this way, it said, now the modern church will come into preview. And here come the Asian church up. I never seen such a filthy bunch. Here come the other churches up in the different nations. They're horrible. Now, this is not a prejudicial statement Brother Branham made here, because this is what he saw in the vision from God. The bride from all over the world was dressed right and had long hair. In other words, everything lined up with the Word. But when he saw the Asian church, he said, I've never seen such a filthy bunch. Now, you can make this into what you want to, but the word filthy, it means filthy. In fact, the word filthy, according to our dictionary, is an adjective. It means foul. I think it's interesting because our English, we can say foul or foul. F-O-U-L or F-O-W-L. And where does all these diseases come from? F-O-W-L. Foul. So that foul is foul because it's filthy. They're not housed right. They're not separated. All right? But it's characterized or having the nature of filth. It is also means disgustingly or completely dirty. But it also means vile. In other words, now you're getting into the psyche, you're getting into the emotional, you're getting into the spirit. Vulgar, obscene, such as filthy language. And I think it's interesting that the word filthy means foul, because that is where most of these disgusting diseases start with, which is in the fowl, the birds, caged up with hogs. And therefore, the viruses mutate from one species to another into the human population as well. And remember, these viruses are germs, and all germs are demonic spirits. And when the demons were cast out of the man called Legion on the Isle of Gennesaret, they immediately went into what? Hogs. Those germs, demons, that were in the man Legion, crossed into another species. Hogs. What? How many of you ever dissected fetal pigs in school? Anybody that had any science did it. You know, why did you dissect a fetal pig and not, say, a fetal lamb or a fetal cockroach or whatever?
Similarities
in the human heart. The organs, similar organs. That's why they go from the hog into the human. They go from the chicken into the hog, hog into the human. And in some cases, they went in Gennesaret, when they were cast out, they went from the human into the hog. You see? So going from hogs to humans is no big move on their part. Exactly. Now, just so you do not think Brother Rand was prejudiced, let's just keep reading on. He said, and I say this because I'm duty bound to tell the truth before God. And when he said, here comes the Church of America now to be previewed, if I ever seen a bunch of devils, it was that. The women were stripped naked. Remember, as goes the women, so goes the church. The women were stripped naked with an old gray-looking thing like the color of an elephant's hide. And they was holding it in front of them with no upper part on it at all. And they were doing this kind of stuff that these dances that these kids do out here, that twists and stuff, that kind of music going on. And when I see Miss USA come up, I almost fainted. Now, this is thus saith the Lord. If you believe me to be a servant, you believe me now. I wouldn't say that for nothing in the world. There's not enough money in all the world to get me to say that if it wasn't true. And when she come by, that was the filthiest looking thing I ever seen. But China was filthy, but Miss America is even filthier. And I thought, God, as hard as preachers, and we brethren have labored to get you the bride, and that's the best we could do. She was twisting and holding this in front of her like one of these hula skirts of things, holding it in front of her parts. Her lower parts like this, dancing and twisting like these kids do out here on these vulgar shows that they have twisting. That was Miss Christianity of America. Miss Christianity. Not just Miss Wall Street. Not just Miss Deep State. That was Miss Christianity of America. In 2008, in another presidential election year, it was the avian flu pandemic. It was a highly pathogenic H5N1 virus that was isolated from the farmed goose located in Guangdong province of China. Notice, the SARS began in Guangdong. The avian flu began in Guangdong. Notice, both the SARS flu and the avian flu were both begun in Guangdong province of China. I wonder if that is in Guangdong province. I shouldn't be talking about that. Okay. But if you look at all the evidence concerning this flu, it has mostly been a disease in local fowl, and outside of fowl, it has only averaged 70 people who were infected per year since 2003. 70 people. That is by no means a pandemic, but I tell you what, SARS. Oh, wasn't that a scare? Oh my, don't go to a hospital, you might get SARS. Don't go amongst a lot of people, you might get SARS. Right now over in France, it's against the law to congregate more than 1,000 or 1,500 people in one place. Why? Coronavirus. So the Muslims said, well, we're going to have church anyway. They're the only ones standing up to this nonsense. Christians ought to stand up to this nonsense. Of course, we'd have a hard time getting 1,500 together anyway, but because people don't want the word. But notice, both the SARS flu and the avian flu were both begun in Guangdong province of China. But if you look at all the evidence concerning this flu, as I said, it's only averaged 70 people who were infected per year since 2003. That is by no means a pandemic. Before the whooping cough, vaccines were recommended for all infants. And about 8,000 people in the United States died each year from the whooping cough. That's dying. SARS was only in about 70 people. And hardly any of them died. Just a handful. Whooping cough killed 8,000 children per year in the United States. Today, because of a vaccine, this number has dropped to fewer than 20 per year. But notice the so-called pandemics have a huge push politically all over the world. And I think most of you remember these pushes as well. I mean, anybody close to my age or even my children's age, you remember them pushing all these big pandemics and everybody, you know, just talking about them. Well, then in 2009, 2010, that not presidential year, but an important midterm election year, the swine flu, H1N1, was termed a pandemic. We have more cases of flu every year than we had that year in the so-called swine flu pandemic. Now, before you see what the actual swine flu cases were and deaths, let's compare first actual flu cases and deaths in the chart below. Here I want you to notice the amount of people who got it, and the years that they got it, and the deaths that occurred. Why? Because this is a common flu. And I want you to compare the percent of deaths to those happening under the so-called pandemic that the media goes hysterical about. Okay, so this is just common food. And I thank Brother Peter for sending me this chart. Notice in 2010, we had 21 million people around the world had the flu. 200,000 people were hospitalized and 37,000 people.
Can you read that up there?
Well, yeah, I can from here. I should probably turn around. It's easier for me to read on this one. And 37,000 people died. All right. Now, let's go up to 2012. We had 34 million people with the flu, 570,000 were hospitalized, 43,000 died. Let's go up to 2016, okay? That was the presidential election. We had 29 million people with the flu, 497,000, hospitalized, 38,000 died. 2017-2018, we had 45 million. We had 810,000 were hospitalized, 61,000 died. How many people have died from the coronavirus in the United States? He was old. I mean, not old. He's younger than I am. But they said he had health problems. He had a lot of health issues. The devil just kind of got behind his game a little push. Now, on the next page, I want you to see just how few cases and deaths there were for the swine flu pandemic that was pushed down the throats of the American people by our liberal, left-wing, globalist, big government-pushing media. The WHO reported 403 cases in the United States and one death. 403 cases and one death. What's the percentage? Oh, 1 in 403, whatever. But Wikipedia, take 403 and divide it. Somebody got a calculator on your phone. Take 403 divided by 330 million people. It's like 0.0000007 or something. But Wikipedia said it was about half of that. 198 cases and no deaths. Now remember, WHO is not an American organization, it's a worldwide organization. They were saying 403, but Wikipedia actually said, well, you know, it's more like 198. Okay, more like 198. Average flu, 2018 to 2019, 61,000 people died from the flu. But the swine flu, which, oh, it's bad, 198 people got it. None died. The country hit the hardest was Mexico, as you will see in the next page below. And I remember this well because I met a doctor in Malawi the next year, 2009, who had to flee for his life from Mexico because his clinic was curing people in days. They came to him, and the next day they'd be better from H1N1. And all they took was that MMS, multi-mineral supplement. Basically, it gives you a lot of oxygen. And a senator came to him and expressed his appreciation. I've got this on a video if you'd like to see it sometime. I interviewed him and we talked. And the senator came to him and expressed his appreciation. We were both staying in the same place in Malawi. I was on a mission trip and he was actually teaching. He was actually cleaning out a few hospitals there. He had gone to Nigeria and emptied two hospitals. Now he's down in Malawi at that time. But he told me a senator had come to him and expressed his appreciation for what he was doing, but said that the government was sending law enforcement people to not only shut him down, but to arrest him and possibly kill him. So he hightailed it out of there and went to Africa. That's where I met him. Now here we have the human swine flu cases and deaths by country. In Mexico, they had 822 cases, 29 deaths. 29 deaths. How many people are killed every year in America by lightning? How many people? 2,000. 2,000. Do you see it in the paper every day? Watch out for the lightning! There's a storm coming! You better get in on your side! No, no, no. No, they say, watch out for that human swine flu! You're gonna die! Like you have 2,000, you have almost a 20 times more likelihood of dying from being struck by lightning than you have of dying from the swine flu. But boy, did it get a lot of press. I've got things to show you here. United States, 403 cases, one death. Wikipedia, 198 cases, zero deaths. Total around the world, 1,516 cases. Not even as many people as are struck by lightning and killed in the United States in 1 year. There's 25,000 people struck by lightning, but only 2,000 died. And yet there was less cases of people internationally with the swine flu, and only 30 deaths internationally. Now, Wikipedia said, well, there's 3,981, but there's only 101 deaths. Doesn't matter. 2,000 die every year from lightning strikes. You see what they've been doing to you people? I'm not saying you people, I'm saying to everybody. Fear. Fear. If you don't do this, Trump's going to bring on a Holocaust. You know, if you vote for that guy, he's going to bring us to war with Korea. Did he? Well, I guess that one didn't happen. But he's going to bring us to war in Syria. Did it happen? No, he took the soldiers out of there. Well, he's going to do it in Afghanistan. What has he done? Just signed a peace pact. We're going to take people out of there. Pushing, pushing, pushing. It's all fear-mongering. And you listen to those idiots on the stage, and they are idiots. Purely, I wouldn't want any of them for a son-in-law. Sorry, some or I. But they're stupid. Well, Mr.
The guy go like this all the time.
Sanders. Not the current. The other Sanders. Oh, what's it going to cost for all these programs?
Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe $130
trillion. Oh, $130
trillion.
Where are you going to get the money?
Well, it's actually, we're going to generate 20 million jobs, and you know, by going away from coal and going away from gasoline, and everything's going to be done by the wind, you know, and it's going to be great, and it's going to bring a lot of jobs.
So that's going to pay $130 trillion. You're going to have to take everybody's money 10 times over. I mean, stupid is a stupid does. And I don't mind saying it. 99.999% of the politicians are just blank stupid. Like you saw the politicians saying the same thing over and over again. Like Tucker Carlson said, they're like a bunch of shih tzu dogs begging for a cookie or something. Selling their soul for a little bit of gravy. So you see, this was a farce heisted upon the people of the world to keep them looking to a big government. Yeah, bug government. That's good. That was actually a good typo. To a big government to save them from that big bad virus called swine flu. Next, you'll see below a map in the upper right corner of the page, and that map shows the swine flu, and it calls it a pandemic and how it went viral. No pun intended. Notice that they call it the swine flu pandemic, which it was not. What, 198 cases? That's not a pandemic. Notice in the first paragraph, unless we have pandemics of lightning strikes. Notice in the first paragraph, it uses the word pandemic three times just to get the thought across, and then compare it with the Spanish influenza pandemic of 1918. Why? To bring fear. That could only be the reason. Notice the first paragraph. The 2009 flu pandemic, or swine flu, was an influenza pandemic that lasted from nearly 2009 to late 2010, election year, and the second of the two pandemics involving H1N1 influenza virus, the first of them being from 1918 to 1920 Spanish flu pandemic, that's four times, albeit in a new version. It's like we played the news clips. They all say the same thing. Over and over and over. Why? Because Brother Matt said you can repeat a lie over and over and over. And finally, maybe by the fourth time, they say, oh yeah, it must be a pandemic. Then you go across the page, you see the flu, 2009 flu pandemic. Since when is 198 people a pandemic? And they show, oh my goodness, if you look at the picture, all of South America was infected. It was. We can go back to the numbers and show you it wasn't. All of the United States, all 198, fill up the whole place, it's all red, bleeding all over. I'm having fun. Because they are so stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid is as stupid does. I'm sorry, but I get a little bit put out by the stupidity. And people gobble up and say, oh, it must be so, because you wouldn't hear it on television if it wasn't true. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you hear it on television, it's not true.
Right.
You better get this up. Every word of it's true. Then again, you see, 2009, flu pandemic. CDC, now H1N1 flu, the 2009 H1N1 pandemic. It's all over the place. Pandemic. Really? 198 people in pandemic. As I said, we got pandemics of lightning all over the place. On the next page, I have a map of the world, and it shows just how few cases that were verified throughout the world. And let's face it, since the symptoms are the same as the flu, I am sure many people who just had the common flu were diagnosed with H1N1. Because if you just take a swab test, there is not any way to know. You must have a blood test. On this page, we see the world map. Notice in this map, the USA shows the most cases, then Mexico, and then Canada. We see in the USA nearly 6,800 people got it, but only 10 die. And those 10, they don't tell you if they were aged, dying of pneumonia already or not. But only 10 die. There are more people who die each year from lightning strikes. According to NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, over the last 20 years, that's a 20-year sampling of the United States, averaged 51 annual lightning strike fatalities, placing it in the second position just behind floods for deadly weather. In the U.S., between 9% and 10% of those strikes die, with an annual average of 25 deaths in the 2010s decade of 16 through 17. Okay, so we have, they must have had a national broadcast about staying out of the rain, people, because we have a lightning pandemic. So it went from 51 annual down to 25. That's pretty good progress. We got a thank you, media! Excuse me, the media never said that. Oh. Okay, maybe people just smartened up. Maybe they didn't go out golfing. All right. So we see here a map. And in the map, you can see it lists every country. This is the May 27, 2009. Countries reporting 13,398 cases. You see the USA had 6,764 cases, 10 deaths. Canada, 921 cases, 1 death. Sorry, total 13,398, 95 deaths. Total worldwide, 95 deaths. Okay, well, that's like, if you took the annual lightning strike deaths, it's actually 2,000 for the world and 51 for the U.S., all right, 25 in the last few years. As you see, the total cases worldwide were only 13,398. Only 95 deaths, yet the media went into hysterics covering it and made you think that it was the end of the world, which it was not. Mexico was hit the hardest. Now, contrast the 13,398 cases of H1N1 throughout all the world with 240,000 incidents regarding lightning strikes that happen each year worldwide. 240,000 average per year worldwide to 13,398. The annual fatality tolls vary greatly. One estimate is that the annual global death toll is 6,000. On the other hand, according to the National Geographic, annually about 2,000 people are killed worldwide by lightning. And yet, this so-called pandemic killed only 95 people. So your chances are better for getting hit by lightning than dying in a pandemic. In fact, they're 20 times greater. The odds of you dying because of this coronavirus, which is even less than this flu. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to get across. Every time the angel of God appeared to man, the first words out of his mouth was, "Fear not." Paul said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Think for yourself. Don't let the people out there who are illegitimate, reprobate, concerning the truth, tell you what is truth. They don't know what truth is. I have yet to hear one politician. When they say, we want to know the truth, he says, I'll tell you what the truth is. Jesus is the truth. Amen. Have you ever heard a politician say that?
No.
You want to know the truth? Open your Bible. That's the truth. You ever hear a politician say that? No, of course not. Psalm 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Again, our God, our Heavenly Father told us in Jeremiah 29:11, I'm going to repeat it again, for I know the thoughts that I have, that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Okay, now let's examine MERS, which was an election virus of 2012. Since September 2012, the WHO, World Health Organization, has been notified of 2,494 laboratory-confirmed cases of infection with MERS-CoV. Of those 2,500 cases, there has been reported 858 MERS-associated deaths have occurred since September of 2012. This was reported in 2019, so over seven-year period, 858. Well, 7 years is just 858 divided by seven is what, 115 maybe? Deaths a year? It's not so many. More people choke to death at night. They do. Than you're seeing here. You know, they sell the what they call the PAP?
CPAP.
How many people die a year from CPAP? You know? Anybody? Don, you know? Well, somebody look it up. That's your homework. All right. This was reported in 2019. So over an eight-year period, actually 8 years, so 858 divided by 8 is about 11, let's say 110, not even 110 deaths a year, which means it's just over 100 years per year. Okay. Again, there are 20 times more deaths each year from being struck by lightning. So what are the odds of being struck by lightning? The odds of becoming a lightning victim in the U.S. in any 1 year is 1 in 700,000. Well, you know what? 1 in 700,000, we got how many people in the United States? 330 million? So it might be, six? No, what? Yeah, not even six people a year. The odds of being struck in your lifetime is 1 in 300,000. Lightning can kill people. 3,696 deaths were recorded in the U.S. between 59 and 2003. That's 44 years. And an average of 84 a year for 44 years. That's the steps. But as for Ebola is not a USA disease to fear. There have been only four cases of Ebola within the United States ever, except for those they brought seven more people over who had been infected over there. They brought them over here because, you know what, we got free health care. Sick. Why don't they treat them over there? Two of them died. So of the 4 plus 7 is 11, two of them died. That's an 18% chance of dying if you're infected and living in the United States. But what's your chance of living if you're living in one of those countries where they don't have the hospitalization, they don't even have the hospitals, they don't even have the nurses and doctors? It's pretty much high. It's about 50%, 58%. It's an African disease because they eat bats, rats, snakes, and other creeping things. And they bought nine and said, no, not all Africa. I don't think they do that in Cabinda, do they? Angola. They don't eat rats and bats in Angola? Brother Alberto?
Yeah,
do they eat rats and bats in Angola?
Eat what?
Rats and bats.
Rats.
You know, like the bat, you know, like Batman, you know, the bat? Do they eat? I remember in Congo Republic, you know, I remember in 2009 in Congo Republic, there's a group of brothers, they said, we've come to the doctor, we believe the doctor now, and we've been debating in church, there's kind of a split happening in our church. And I said, well, what's the problem? They said, well, some of them don't want to eat snakes anymore because they believe the doctor. And I just got to laughing because there's people that don't eat meat because they got the doctor. You know, it's a spirit. A religious spirit. It is an African disease because they eat rats, bats, snakes, and other creepy things, and they buy them alive at open markets in Africa and in China. Now, that brings us down to 2020. There has been 2012, I think, or something like that. Anyway, there's been, since... actually, when I was over there in 2002, they had Ebola. in Uganda. So I don't know how many ever there has been, but there's 28,616 cases of Ebola from 2014 through 2016, of which 11,300 people died. Now, that's a very high percentage of people dying from that disease. But you have to look at the type of care these people receive. They have very little antibiotics in those areas of Africa, and most people either can't afford to see a doctor early on, or they just don't have doctors out in their jungle where they live. So they lay down, they do nothing, and they die because that's all they can do. No medical care. Now, the scare in 2016 was the Zika virus. That's 2016. Remember, that's when Trump was elected. So they had to scare somebody. You know, got to have big government. You don't want this guy to come in. He's going to tear down government. You got to have big government. So the Zika virus. You see, they knew that Trump was having trouble getting the women to vote. So we're going to come up with something that's going to scare people, and all the women are going to think their babies are going to die. We got to have big government. In the U.S., there were 62 Zika virus infections reported in 2015, then over 5,000 reported in 2016. Oh, isn't that something? And only 20 in 2019. Florida was the state with the highest number of reported Zika virus cases in 2016. Wasn't that the battle state? With 1,115 reported on February 20, 2020, over 4,800 pregnancies in the U.S. had a lab result showing confirmed or possible Zika from 2016-2018. That's about 1,600 per year. About 1 in 7 babies had health problems possibly caused by Zika reported. Possibly. We don't really know. But we're reporting it anyway so that, you know, you might think that's something. Among 1,450 babies at least 1 year old, August 7, 2018, that's around 200 babies over a three-year period. That is health problems, but not deadly. Usually patients recover, but it does kill about 1% of the victims because the birth defects are certainly deadly. When a baby has severe brain damage, it can die while still in the womb at birth. Babies have died of other unknown causes when the mother has been infected with Zika. Therefore, it is not determined how many actually died because of the Zika virus. It's just like I've been doing some research on, I'm getting to be almost 70 a few years from now. And there's certain things that affects, a man when he's in his 40s and 50s, they start to look at the prostate and they say, well, there's a big scare. You know, like women with the mammograms, they roll over your, parts with a truck and they want to check it and make sure everything's okay. Well, the man, they want to do things to the man. And Brother Bell said, don't you ever get that done to you. All right. So, you know what the stats are? Only 3% of men that have prostate cancer actually die of prostate cancer. All the other ones just die of old age or whatever. It's a very benign cancer. But you start putting prods up there with needles and everything else, if you do have the cancer, it's going to spread in the rest of your body, and you're going to die of cancer in your bowels and in your stomach and everything else. But our stupid medicine. Well, let's just cut it open and see what's there. Why would you cut it open and see what's not there? Why don't you look at family history for one? Why don't you treat it other ways? And if it's benign, just let it alone. But that's our medicine. Push fear, and you can sell more drugs. A total of 72,000 now. Let's look at this year. Another election year. Everything's been going great. You know, they couldn't put the man down through impeachment. They couldn't put him down through a Russia investigation, which is a bunch of malarkey. Well, now let's dump the economy. Let's bring the economy crashing down. Let's just come up with something to make people fear and that they won't be able to get products out of China because we pushed everything into China. What a stupid rationale for doing business. Put all our eggs in one basket where they can't even make baskets. Or that's about all they can do. Push it all over there. You know, 90% of the drugs that people are taking in America are made in China. I wouldn't even use wallboard from China. It's full of their toxins. People had to have their whole houses torn down because they put up Chinese wallboard to save a few dollars. Come to find out, they were dumping all their toxic waste and pressing it into into drywall and sending it to America, where the stupid people say, well, a few pennies cheaper, I'm going to buy it. 90% of all the drugs that you take, if you're taking prescription drugs, there's a good chance, 9 out of 10, that it was manufactured in China. Good grief. A godless people like that. Brother Peter could tell you about, you know, I don't know if he's still under whatever they call those things. Yeah, confidential agreements, but you ought to talk to him sometime about the conditions of those factories. I can tell you some things. You know, rodent control? They put a 2-inch, not even 2-inch, they put a little gap, John, about that wide, on the steps going up. That's the rodent control. Yeah, as if mice can't jump. Oh, but you know what? We're going to make biological. So you know what? Instead of having a concrete floor, or better yet, a tile floor that can be washed with, you know, clean solutions, we'll just put wood. Well, where do bacteria breed? In wood. And you're buying your drugs that are supposed to save your life from a filthy, like Brother Ben said, a filthy place. But you trust them because you know what? Advertisements. Do you ever listen to the advertisements? They got a list that long after the advertisement that the guy sounds like he's doing an auction. He says, you know, take this drug for a headache. You know, it's really good for a headache. But the side effects are death and heart attack and kidney failure and liver failure and, you know, this, blah, blah. Then he goes, you slow it down, you can hear it all. So you got a headache, so you're going to take this thing that's going to give you a heart attack. Stop your kidney, stop your liver from functioning. Are we stupid? Mm-hmm. Yeah, American people are stupid. They've been dumbed down. Of the total 72,314 COVID-19 cases diagnosed through February 11th, 11 were used, February 11th were used for the study. Of the 72,314 cases, 44,672 were classified as confirmed cases of COVID, so that means that 30,000 weren't. 62% diagnosed based on positive throat swab samples. Throat swab. What good is a throat swab? If you don't have a blood test, you can't. If you don't have any symptoms yet, it's not going to be in your throat swab. It'll be in your blood, but not in your throat swab. But you know what their test kits are? Throat swabs. Oh, that's cheap. Tell you what, how many containers of ear swabs? Huh?
Q-tips.
How many got Q-tips in your house? All right. In your house, you have probably, and there's 100 and 200 in each. You have 200 cases. You have 200 test cases for coronavirus. Then you can make a lot of money. Just put them on eBay. $100 for a Q-tip. You see how stupid people are? And the masks, they just buy these masks like they're going to help them. They don't help you. And it's all fear. Why? They don't believe God. They don't trust that He is the Lord that healeth all our diseases. 16,186 were suspected cases, diagnosed suspected cases. They didn't actually, weren't scientifically shown to be that they were. Oh, we might think they are because they got a sniffle. They might, you know, be coughing. Well, you know what? I cough all the time. Brother Bell coughed all the time. That's Ohio pollen. That's not coronavirus. But it's one of the listed symptoms. Oh, you cough. Stay away from me, you know. Just get me out of Ohio. 10,567 as clinical diagnosed cases from Hubei province only. Clinically diagnosed based on symptoms, including lung x-ray, and 889 as asymptomatic cases, diagnosed by positive test result but lacking typical symptoms. So of the 72,314 cases, most were diagnosed in Hubei province. That's 75% of all the cases in the world were in the Hubei province. And most of the 75%, most reported Wuhan-related exposure, 86% of them, had been in the Wuhan area. They're Wuhan residents or visitors or close contact with Wuhan residents or visitors, the author said. So a lot of the speculation is going on in not very good scientific protocol as the taking of blood samples. Therefore, a lot of conjecture is being made with very little scientific proof. But notice that the 72,314 cases, 75%, were from the province of Wuhan. So the 2.3 death rate is a Chinese problem with their medical technology or lack of it. Of the confirmed cases, 1,023 patients, all in the critical condition, died from the virus, which resulted in a CFR of 2.3%. The CFR jumped considerably among older patients to 14.8% in patients 80 or older. Well, you're only allotted 70 years, and if by chance good health, 80. So if older, what are your chances anyway? And 8% of patients ages 70 to 79, among the critically ill, the CFR was 49%. What's CFR?
Council of Foreign Relations?
No, no, no. This CFR has to do with a death ratio of some sort. Okay, if you take the rest of the world, the death rate is less than 5%, less than 0.5%. So although this disease spreads faster than the common flu, it is not any deadlier. It says less deadly but more transmissible than SARS and MERS. A total of 81% of cases in the JAMA study were classified as mild, meaning they did not result in pneumonia or resulted in only mild pneumonia. 14% of cases were severe, marked by difficult breathing, and 5% were critically respiratory failure, septic shock, or a multitude of organ dysfunctions or failures. Now, look, the person might have been on, getting... dilation, or dialysis. That's an organ failure. So they get this, they cough a little bit while they're in dialysis, get pricked, and, whatever. I mean, look, you just let your imagination go and you can come up with all kinds of things. In comparison to SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome, and MERS, Middle East respiratory syndrome, coronavirus, which were both identified in the past 20 years, COVID-19, is likely more highly transmittable, but not as deadly. The researchers noted SARS had a CFR of 9.6%, MERS had a CFR of 34.4%, and unlike SARS and MERS, hospital-based outbreaks do not seem to be a hallmark of COVID ID at this time. As of February 29th, that's yesterday, according to the CDC in the United States, there have been 22 people tested positive for COVID-19 out of 472 people tested. There has been one death in the USA of a man in his 50s who had health problems, and they won't tell you what they were. And the coronavirus just complicated those problems, and he died. Like many older people, died of pneumonia laying in a hospital bed, who are not there because they had pneumonia when they went in, but laying there on their back, they developed the pneumonia. So I do not see that this is any more to worry about than the common cold or the annual flu, which kills far more people. Now, I got this information from the CDC yesterday. The CDC estimates that influenza has resulted in between 9 million and 45 million illnesses. Now, that's quite a staggering difference. Therefore, it cannot be a scientific data. It's conjecture. Depends on who you talk to. You talk to a liberal, he'll say, 49 million! You talk to a conservative, 9 million. All right? Between 140,000 and 810,000 hospitalizations. How can there be that big of a difference if they were dealing with facts? Between 12 million and 61 million deaths annually since 2012. If you were to turn this in as a term paper, those statistics as a term paper, you get an F. Listen, people, those numbers are amazingly hard to swallow. What do you mean between 9 million and 45 million illnesses? There's a huge difference between these two numbers, and if they cannot get a hold of the actual reasons, I don't think they know what they're talking about. This is not science. This is baseball park. That is fish stories that have grown into Whopper stories. Between 140,000 and 810,000, again, why such a diverse number? That means they are not sure. That means there is no real science reporting going on. Why do you think Trump cleaned it out? Then they said, we needed those people. What, they're just sitting around doing nothing? Absolutely nothing, and they didn't know anything. You get this kind of statistic, who needs them? I'd rather take a high school science class
send them down to CDC and say, take the stats. 140,000 we'll say to the doctors, but we can say 810,000 to the people who don't know any better. Sounds like politicians speaking. Well, these are just guesses, and if they're just guesses, then why should anyone pay attention to anything they tell you? Flu causes between 12 million and 61 million deaths each year. Flu? Come on, people. That's a 40 million difference between the low and the high. You expect me to swallow that? I hope you don't. Those are numbers that you would expect from politicians speaking to two different groups of people, but not from the so-called professional Center for Disease Control. I remember when President Clinton was running the first time, and I remember in the morning he was talking to some very liberal people on the East Coast, and he told them one certain thing, and then that afternoon he's in the Midwest, he's talking to another group of people, and he told them the opposite. And I thought, why isn't that being reported in the news? They'll tell you anything you want to hear, like the Bible says. People having itching ears, God will send them preachers. They'll tell them what they want to hear. So who are you going to trust? The CDC that can't even make a scientifically accurate statement? Or thus saith the Lord? I know where I stand. After me and my house, we'll trust the Lord. I think the president needs a clean house and the CDC as well and get rid of all those politicians who call themselves doctors and scientists. Did you know that one of the main spokesmen and one of the head doctors is Rod Rosenstein's sister? You know, you talk about D.C. being full of incest, placing their own brothers and sisters on these big, important departments, like back when President Reagan was there and he brought in the guy's name starts with an R. He became the Secretary of Defense. Rumsfeld. What did Rumsfeld do? The CDC for 8 years in a row had turned down aspartame as to be used in commercially or in food. They said, nope, can't do it. Nope, it causes injury, causes too many things. Nope, can't do it. There's 90 different side effects. Nope. Ronald Reagan becomes president, brings in Rumsfeld. I think at that time Rumsfeld was defense under Bush Jr. He was his head guy or something like that. I don't remember exactly what office he had. What did he do? He hires one of his buddies who goes and he replaces the CDC director with, or the FDA director with his buddy, and sure enough he passes, and somebody got a kickback. It's like Obama gave $380 million or whatever it was, $360 million to a certain publishing company to do across the United States, you know, the what do they call that program, the schooling program, that
Common Core
program. $360 million for Common Core. Well, then a couple years later, he writes a book. Guess what? Same company. He said, "We'll publish your book. We'll give you $30 million to do it." Without selling one book, we'll give you $30 million. How did Hillary Clinton get $40 million to publish a book that maybe only 10 people bought? It's graft. It's collusion. These people are giving money here and getting back money under the table. We'll give the Iranians $150 billion and we expect a little bit back in our pocketbook as well. That's all it is. The only thing you can trust is thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
From a sermon, The Oncoming Storm, Brother Branham said, "We see the newspapers and the oncoming storm. When you go home tonight, do me a favor, don't go to bed until you read Revelation, the 18th chapter. You see the oncoming plagues and storms that shall hit the earth, and thunder and lightning are going to..." Oh, there's your thunder, there's your lightning. At least we've got somebody telling us. "Thunder and lightning are going to shake the heaven. Woes are going to pass over the nation. Men will rot in their flesh. Diseases will strike them that doctors know nothing about." But remember, before that took place, there was a sealing went forth. "And the death angel and the plagues was commissioned by God. Don't come near any of those who have the seal of God in their forehead. And the seal of God is a baptism of the Holy Ghost." Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption." No matter how hard the ark rock, no matter how many times the lightning struck close to it, 10,000 shall fall on your right and 1,000 on your left, and it shall come not nigh thee."
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. From God provided
way of feeling, in closing now. Did you know the Bible predicts that in the last days that there'll be a germ warfare? That disease will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? But was the angel, or who had charge over this plague, was given orders to touch no one on whom the mark was? Why, how much kind of teachers have we got to be, brethren, to get the church in order, to be in that condition, immune? My arms are sore now from when the doctor punched needles to try to inoculate me from yellow fever and so forth. And I told them I don't need it, but they wouldn't listen to me. But I'll tell you what God's going to do. God's got a serum, and it's called the Holy Ghost. And when that serum goes in, it'll inoculate you, hallelujah, in the last days.
Amen.
You make sure that your children live in such an atmosphere that they hear that voice of God every night. And I'll tell you, at a young age, they'll receive the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. Put them in a right condition and the Holy Spirit will incubate and bring forth His own life in them. In closing, Psalm 91:1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust.
Amen.
Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence of plagues.
Amen.
He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flieth by day,
Amen.
Nor for the pestilence of plagues that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you.
Amen.
Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You'll see it, you that have computers. You're seeing these things. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Do you teach your children about their guardian angel? Look that up sometime, what Brother Brown says about that. Each one of us has been given a guardian angel from birth to watch over us.
Amen.
Let your children know.
Amen.
They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the adder shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon thee, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have a God who cannot lie.
Amen.
Amen. That's His promise. His power is in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. We've enjoyed the study, O God, and it's very opening to what is going on at this present time. And help us, Father, the more and more, to look to Your word and to see it, O God, as You're manifesting hundreds of things daily before us. May we have our eyes open, Lord, to see that that is nothing but Your word coming to pass as You spoke it. And knowing that we are protected, we're like those children of Israel in Goshen. That You have Your eyes over us, and You have we are in the palm of Your hand. Help us, O God, to walk in Thy light. And have fellowship with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you could have the brothers come forward, Brother Justin, Brother Peter, bring the elements up. Brother Josh, if you could put the sisters' things up there for washing.